This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson. I'm glad you've tuned us in, and I trust the program is a blessing to you. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we would love to take your comments and your prayer requests. We would take them seriously. Now, we've been going through different words that are associated with the Lord or the gospel, trying to keep things as simple as we can. We've looked at the word beginnings, the word warnings, the word worry, hope, faith, lost, saved, grace. And we've looked at the idea of mercy. We've looked at things that are new. And we've looked at things that are unbelievable, in particular when it comes to the resurrection. We've looked at the idea of repentance, the change of mind that's necessary to bring us to saving faith. And today I want to look at the word joy. And the verse I'm really thinking about is found in the Old Testament in Psalm 30, verse 5. It says, "For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, I want to think about that both with regard to our dispensational relationship to the Lord. We're in the night season, and joy is going to come in the morning. Well, the morning is going to be when the Lord returns. So we're in really kind of the darkest part of the night, it seems, from a dispensational standpoint, but I don't want to linger there. I want to think about the cross, because there again, the darkness, the 3 hours of darkness, were a time of weeping and sorrow, but joy came when those women came to the empty tomb and found out that the Lord had been raised from the dead. Fact of the matter is, that was so unbelievable that most of them thought that his body had been taken away, had been stolen away, but Mary Magdalene lingered at that tomb, wondering where this man that she saw, who she thought was the gardener, had taken that body, and that person that she saw was the Lord. And when he spoke her name, then she realized that the Lord had been raised from the dead, and the joy was associated with the Lord's resurrection. The cross is associated with his suffering, but the resurrection is associated with his victory. The resurrection is associated with the joy that comes in the morning. Now, there's a verse that talks about the joy of faithful service in the Bible, and that's found in Matthew 25, verse 23, where the Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And the Lord was telling a story or a parable about a man who had faithfully utilized the resources that had been given to him while the ruler was gone, while the Lord was gone. And it speaks of our faithfully utilizing the resources the Lord has given to us who are saved while the Lord is gone. And the question is, do we utilize those resources in a way that will advance the kingdom of God, so that when the Lord returns, he'll not only have his original resources, the original money that was committed to us, but he'll have the money earning interest for him, or at least earning a return for him. And for those who use things that the Lord has given to them well, he says, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." This has nothing to do with salvation. This has to do with service. And we know that when we're saved, it's not because of something we have done for God, but it's because of what God has done for us. But when we realize what God has done for us, then we have to realize as well that He wants to use us, and He has given us some kind of a gift to utilize for Himself. This is the teaching of Scripture, and if we've utilized that gift well, when we meet the Lord, we won't have to be ashamed at His coming, but we will enter in to the joy of the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Wouldn't it be nice to hear that when you cross over to the other side to meet the Lord Himself? But the joy that really speaks to me is the joy that comes with finding someone who is lost and bringing them to the Savior and knowing that they've been found and knowing that they've really been saved or delivered from the penalty that they deserve because of their sin. And we get a picture of that again in Luke chapter 15, where the Lord spake this parable unto them. Luke 15, I'm starting at verse 3. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. That's the lamb that was lost. Over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just person which need no repentance. And the thought is, which think they need no repentance. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And we talked about this matter of repentance last time. It has to do with finding out that we, when we disagree with God, that God is right and we are wrong. It has to do with saying, I was wrong. It has to do with recognizing and confessing that things we have done are offenses against God and are called sin, and in some cases they're called iniquity. These are things that we need to face when we are lost, that is, when we are away from God and without hope and without God in the world, which is the way we start out. And then when the Lord uses the Word of God and the preaching of the Word and the Holy Spirit to bring us to Himself, and when the lost is found, then there is joy even in heaven, even in the presence of God over one sinner that repents. And one thing I want to say, which is sort of a side issue right now, is that most of us look at things in a very secular way, and we don't understand that angels in heaven are observing the behavior of the church. Angels in heaven are observing what's happening nationally. And not only are there angels that serve the Lord that are observing what we do, but there are angels that serve Satan that are observing what we do. And the Romans chapter 8 makes it clear that there's neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. And it lists other things as well that will be ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Bible constantly refers to the fact that there are adversaries, spiritual adversaries, that would like to keep us from finding out that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And then once we come to faith in the Lord Jesus, once we are able to turn away from all of the lies of Satan and all the things that we thought were right, to accept what God says is right, once we're able to do that, and once we come to saving faith, then Satan puts a special target on our back, and he tries to keep us from really enjoying the blessing that should come in this life with regard to our salvation. And so there are angels in heaven that are observing what's happening, and when they see a lost sheep that is found, when they see a sinner then who repents, because this parable tells us that the lost sheep that is found is the sinner that repents. and is found by the Lord. And when they see that, they rejoice in heaven. There's victory associated then with the cross. And that happens one by one. And I enjoy the fact that angels are observing. Angels observe our church meetings according to 1 Corinthians 11. Angels observe our behavior in the process that the Lord uses to bring us to saving faith. Angels observe that, but there are demonic angels and there are angels that serve the Lord, and there's a constant battle going on, and we have to resist Satan steadfast in the faith once we are saved. But think of that joy that the angels have when they say, here's another one who has been delivered because of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so there's joy in the presence of the angels over sinners who repent and believe. And so when the Lord was about to leave his disciples, he makes it clear to them that there's going to be a time of sorrow, but there's going to be a time of rejoicing. John 16 brings that before us. Verse 21 says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And so he's comparing these events associated with his death and ultimately his resurrection to the birth of a child. And now therefore, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So the joy is associated with the resurrection of the Lord. Weeping may endure for the night. That's the period of time on the cross, but joy comes in the morning, and that's at the empty tomb. And so the disciples themselves were confused with regard to what was taking place. They thought the Lord should have been reigning, not that he should have been crucified, and they wanted to reign with him. And one day they will, but nevertheless, this joy that he's talking about comes after the night of sorrow. And so then again we read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, we read, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that is, of the things that we truly believe, who for the joy, notice that, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the Lord looked beyond the crucifixion. He looked beyond the grave and realized that there was going to be a future that would involve joy. And so we too can look forward to that joy. Even if there are things that are causing sorrow in our lives right now, there's going to be joy. And there was sorrow for the disciples when they saw the Lord crucified, but there was joy when they finally realized that he had been raised from the dead. And there's joy in the presence of the angels when people come to saving faith. And that's why we're preaching the gospel. We want that joy to be manifested. We want the cross and the resurrection to be proclaimed so that others can enter into the joy of the Lord and be faithful after they're saved in their service to him, loving him because he first love them. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word, and we pray for thy blessing upon this program. We give thanks for thy mercies in our Savior's name. Amen.